Well, good afternoon, everyone.
Afternoon.
And
hello.
I understand we have all on the phone, so we can call the meeting to order. And the first item of business would be approval of the minutes from the, I believe this was July 6th meeting, right?
July 3rd and 6th.
July 3rd and 6th, yeah.
Okay.
This is Doug, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for those two meetings, namely July 6th and July 3rd.
Okay, I'll second that. And is there any discussion regarding that? All right, then. All in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I vote aye.
Okay. Then, sorry, I'm just a little slow here getting my computer opened up. Trying to get the board packet. Here we go. Perfect. There we go. All right. So then we have got some loans. Phones, those are distributed stuff. Those were distributed with the agenda. Here we go. Looks like nine loans. Oh, about $1.9 billion. Am I reading that right?
No.
Oh, million. $1.9 million. Sorry.
Those loans have been approved for public purpose, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I'll make a motion to approve them.
This is Doug. I'll second the motion.
Okay. Is there any discussion regarding the loans this month?
Just briefly, I notice again that we have almost no school loans coming through. Is that because of the time of year, or what's the story there?
I think, Doug, historically we've done fewer school loans than municipal loans because schools can generally issue tax-exempt bonds. I do have some coming up for possibly the next meeting from school districts, but I think throughout the history of BCPL we've done fewer school loans.
Really? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion regarding these loans? I'll call for the vote. I vote aye.
I vote aye.
Matt, I vote no.
All right. Then the loans are approved. And then
we've got the old.
We do have. Yeah. So can we, Jonathan, or can someone give us a little bit of an introduction on this issue once again, please?
Tom, would you do that?
I'd be happy.
I understand. As I understand this, or my recollection is, this deals with, there is some submerged land that belongs to us on the shores of Lake Superior, and it's been being used by a private company to load and unload ships, and we suggested to it they owe us some rent for that.
The particular lease that's in front of us is for the city of Ashland. And
okay.
BCPL, by statute, is the leasing agent for the state. So the land doesn't necessarily belong to BCPL. By the state constitution, the beds of all navigable waters belong to the state holds them in trust for the citizens of Wisconsin. And so we are the leasing agent for the state. The DNR has to make a regulatory finding that any proposed physical changes, any filling, any construction of improvements are consistent with the public interest in those navigable waters. And once the DNR makes such a finding, then we can lease to the waterfront owner, the riparian owner. So in this case, the DNR has made those findings. The area was actually, like you said, filled many years ago. It was filled, and we don't know by who, but once it was filled, it was used as a sawmill. It was used partly by the railroad. The city had a sewage treatment plant on it. It was used for a lot of things, and it actually became contaminated by the utility that was there, and it became a Superfund site. Well, we're now in the final stages of the cleanup. And the city wants to to get its house in order and wants to properly lease this land from the state so that they can have a park there and obtain grants from the DNR to put additional improvements upon it. And so we are now asking the board to approve a lease to the city of Ashland so they can do just that.
Well, I reviewed this, looked at it, and thank you for the summary. This is Doug. I'll make a motion that we approve this lease. I believe it's 50 years at $200 a year.
That's correct.
I'll second that. I seconded
second?
That. There's, yeah, I did, Brad.
So we have a second then, Brad?
Yes.
Okay.
Am I on mute?
I couldn't hear.
Okay.
I'm sorry. My problem.
Okay.
I just have one question. Does the DNR want us to do this, I guess? Did anybody from Governor Walker's administration weigh in and say that they want us to do this or not do this? I guess is my only question.
They absolutely want us to do it.
All right. Because I just don't know. I mean, I read this stuff there, but I don't know a ton about it. But obviously, if that's what those people do, I guess I can give them some understanding that they know what they're doing there. So. Okay.
All right. Then I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I can vote aye.
Okay. Then that is approved. Then we have some new business items. Item 5 is a discussion only, and it's regarding some concerns raised by Commissioner Adamczyk. I have some familiarity with this. I don't recall now whether Doug's been copied in on any of the emails relating to this. So I guess, Matt, why don't you go ahead and...
Well, I guess we're not voting on anything today, obviously. I just wanted to raise my concerns. I think before we, obviously, at one point the board just did the loans to municipalities. And I think when at that point, obviously, whoever's working here, the people that are there, the people before there, I think it was... They were, by definition, the loans are easy, and that's kind of how they operate. That's why people like them, and that's why, different municipalities use us for it. Obviously, since Prudent Investor, we've gone into a whole new direction, and I'm just personally concerned that we have three people that have, in the, the investment committee that just don't have a background. And I have the resumes, and I asked Jonathan, he never specifically got back to me, but from the resumes, it doesn't look like, because we do a couple things besides the loans now. We buy bonds, which are municipal agency. Technically, we can buy corporate bonds. We were buying stocks now, and they buy venture capital. And I guess my question that I had to Jonathan, and maybe he could answer here, is anybody that's on that investment committee, which is yourself, Jonathan, Richard, and Rich, and Tom, has anybody ever done this type of work before, working at the BCPL, is I guess my question.
Oh, the answer to that is yes. We've been doing it for Tom for 12 years and Rich for going on 7 years and myself 3 years.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you. I said before working at the BCPL.
That's irrelevant. I mean, the individuals that were hired at the time they were hired were eminently qualified for the role that they played, which was basically buying fixed instruments from the state and buying or making loans to local governments. In about 08 or 09, that the rules changed a little bit, and the board allowed the BCPL staff to move into secondary market bond issuances, and they grew into that role. And then lastly, recently, as you know, Prudent Person Investing Authority has been granted. I would say that one of our members has a CFA and other titles, and I would say without hesitation that the individuals here are qualified to do the work that they're doing.
Okay. Well, and I guess that's fine, but I guess my only point is, if we were hiring, you ask somebody, the general state population, if you were going to take a $1 billion trust fund of public money, this is the school children's money, and you were to be investing it, and we're much lower in the loans. I think it's only $450 million. So it's the vast majority of it is not in the loans, so $600-700 million.
Let me try and answer
that. Let me just finish that real quick. My only point is, whether you've been doing it for a few years, first of all, the buying of the stocks just started in the last few months. My point is nobody that works at the BCPL had ever done this professionally. I mean, you've got a lawyer, and I'm not saying you guys aren't good guys. I'm sure you're nice guys. I'm not saying you're trying to hurt the fund or do anything bad. My only point is you don't have a professional background in this, and I just find that extremely concerning. And this isn't a small amount of money.
The investments have been wildly successful. They've been beating what the rest of the market's been doing. They research things carefully. They certainly demonstrated that this team is very capable of finding out the details to determine what is a good loan or not. What's the point? What do you want to do with this?
I guess, Brad, I'd say the loans are completely different. Take the loans out of the equation for a second.
I'm sorry, investments. I said loans, I meant
investments. Okay, but my point is, well, first of all, we haven't had these investments very long. I mean, the stocks have only been for a few months, and from what I saw on the thing, we're down, a couple $100,000 or something. But I understand that goes up and down. But my point is, even if you had the Swib or somebody I think who probably would be the best case scenario for this, I understand things do go up and down, but my only point is I would want somebody that did this type of work. I guarantee you if yourself or the Secretary of State, if you were to take your own personal money, you'd want to be investing with somebody that had done that type of work in the past, not somebody learning on the fly.
Well, they're not learning on the fly, Matt. In the case of Tom, he's been here 12 years.
But they didn't do any of this work
before. Let me finish my statement. The DPM, Division of Personnel Management, came in here this year early, and late of last year, and did a full evaluation of both of those positions, and as a result of that, reestablished a new position description for Rich's position and for Tom's. If we were to go out today and hire somebody, we would need to try and match their experience and expertise as defined in the position description. So if you're going to ask me if we would have hired one of these guys for this tomorrow with the qualifications they had 8 years ago or 12 years ago,
okay. Maybe
not. But right now they're fully qualified. I checked with SWIB, and the three most recent fixed income managers they hired were hired from the state of Wisconsin and had nothing other than accounting degrees.
Well,
they're
going
to train them. People do grow in a position.
But they're not the ones managing the money. You three are the only three. They have like 77 professionals, so maybe the lower
actually,
level.
Actually, we're managing the money under the direction of the board, which includes yourself, Matt.
And I'll just make this point, and obviously everybody wants to move on, and I get that. But I guess I'd say the venture capital, okay? Doug, especially, because I think a lot of times him and I have agreed on stuff. Today we've authorized, I voted no, but Doug and Brad support it. We did our authorization for a loan of $40,000 to Elk Mount. $40,000. But yet, you guys went out in the last couple weeks or months at some point and bought $9 million in stocks. So I guess I'd say to somebody like Doug and myself here, what's the point of us even being on the board?
Well,
I mean, if we're authorizing that, just think about the logic of it. We're authorizing a $40,000 loan, but yet you went out and bought $15 million in a venture capital fund. And when I talked, and you said you talked to SWIB, I'll just relay my concern. I talked to SWIB, other professionals in Wisconsin, and other people outside the state. And they said to me the fact that we have 3% in two funds was concerning, very concerning. SWIB as a comparison, let's just use them as the gold standard. They're right next door to you all. They have less than 1% of their fund in many, many funds of venture capital. We're at 3%. 3% of our fund in just two little funds that are local.
Well,
and when I mentioned that to the people, they were very concerned by it. And I'm sorry, that just, for me, that shows the fact you guys have never bought venture capital. But you said you have great experience. You've been doing this. Sure. Tom worked there for 8 years. Well, he's never bought venture capital before.
Matt, we're doing the same venture capital that ETF and SWIB are doing. Isn't that right, Rich or Jonathan?
That SWIB and Wharf had acquired,
so,
yes.
Okay,
Brad, and let me just answer that. You're right. We bought $15 million. They bought $20 million, okay? But they are huge compared to us. They're 100 times our size. So,
once you say that.
So I guess my point, Brad, is
Matt, on one regard. SWIB and Wharf are each much more heavily involved in venture capital type investments than just they have in the Wisconsin-based venture capital.
No, they have $300 million in Wisconsin. I have the thing right from the new executive director. She said it's under 1%, $940 million. $940 million, that's less than a billion. They're $100 billion. That's a simple math. That's 1%.
SWIB has private equity and venture capital investments well in excess of that, Matt.
Well, that's literally what the lady has. I'll send you the email. She sent it right to me. And when I talked to them, and remember, one of the things when we sat and we met in the office, and I think Doug probably shared some of these kind of concerns. He had some good questions when we met. The gentleman presented to us. And I'm all for Wisconsin companies doing well. And they talked about how, you know, outstate, you know, these other, all the money's in San Francisco, all the money's in Boston. But we put our eggs in two little baskets, and $15 million and $15 million. And that's private money. That's equity money. That's not, there's no success. There's no guaranteed success there, obviously, as in
you know,
many
it's
of them.
Odd, Matt. You've been asking us to take on more risk ever since you got on this board. You voted against every investment opportunity we've had because it didn't have enough possible return. The only way you can get return is to take on a little bit of risk. Why don't you make up your mind?
Well, I don't want you doing it. I do want us to, but Jonathan.
Well, you want to do it?
No, I don't want to do it. I do want, well, first of all, I'd ask you to calm down, sir. What I'd say is,
I'm not upset.
You're kind of screaming at me, but what I'd say, Jonathan, is I believe I'm not, I don't invest money, Brad doesn't, and Doug don't. None of us have, that's not our background, but we are the constitutionally elected. So if you take like a Minnesota, for example, they put it all in an S&P 500 passive fund, and they're kicking our butt. They've been doing that since 1997, and I understand we've just started recently on it, but my point is, you guys are now tasked with this huge responsibility, and you just don't have the background doing it. And I understand, yes, you've done the loans. You've done the loans for many years. I say you have a background in that. But I'm not worried about the loans. I don't like the loans.
Are you worried about the fixed instruments and the bonds, Matt? Are you aware that we've exceeded SWIB and the fixed instruments in the bond income for each of the last 5 years in that category?
Well, first of all, that's all we've been doing, but I guess my point is...
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an apples-to-apples comparison in the sectors that are...
And I'm glad you mentioned the apples. At some point, you know, just like the thing from the Minnesota on there that SWIB has, where they do the 1, 3, 4, 1, 3, 5, and 10... I'd like to see us have that listed because all we have is like the last quarter usually. It doesn't really tell us where we've been after the last few years.
I'm willing to do that. I think this staff is treating the board very transparently with reports on constantly. And if you want to add another one, fine.
Well, but I guess, okay, the question, the $15 million that was...
Can I speak for a while
question,
here?
One question, then I'll let talk. $15 million that was put in venture capital. I guess my question is, why wouldn't we just have a simple yes or no vote? I would have voted no, and if the other two gentlemen said yes, that's how it is. I'm fine with that. But I guess my question is, we weren't even given that opportunity.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak?
Of course. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay, well, I've been listening to this, and I read some of the material, and I would like to not continue any more of this discussion. And I want this to be on the record that I say the following. I am critical of the treasurer's continual harassment of our staff on this issue, which we've just been hearing about, and on freedom information requests for loans. I saw that the other day. There's no rhyme or reason for that. It's just irritating me to see it, and it's making our staff life difficult. They have important work to do, and having to respond to all this clearly harassment has to end. And I want that on the record, and I'd urge the treasurer to stop doing it, please. Thank you.
Well, that's fine, but I guess all I'd say, Doug, is me asking a question about whether three individuals that are investing $1 billion of money and asking if they've done that in the past professionally. If that's harassing, I'm sorry. I don't believe that.
I don't think that's harassing, Matt. As long as you stick to that kind of a conversation, we can have a good discussion. I would point out that we developed, with SWIB's involvement and the administration's involvement and that of WARF, a investment plan and asset allocation model, which we presented to you at the board on several occasions as several modifications were made. We're responsive in developing that. Ultimately, you adopted that plan which set the asset allocation and the authority for the staff to invest in your behalf. You added some qualifiers on that at the time it was adopted, as I recall, that stated there were some limitations on going into equities. That was pretty large limitations. I mean, I think we were allowed to do $160 million in some period of time. I'll get that data, but it was, I know we were limited to about $50 million in a six-month period.
Yeah, that was the first few
months. And we then went back to the board after a year. First of all, we're pretty cautious. We didn't go into the market right away because we felt that we needed to fill our smoothing fund to a greater degree so that we had that cushion that was part of our anticipated plan and asset allocation model. Then we went back to the board and informed you that our intent was to go into the equities at a maximum of a couple $1 million a week, with preferably $1 million. Unless the market fell, we'd add another million. We're putting it into ETFs that have no cost, hardly, structure. And we're, we're down a few $1,000s, but we're also up that and more in dividend receipts. I think it's been a good investment. The venture capital investment is, again, an asset allocation issue that allowed us to invest, quote, commit $30 million. We did commit $30 million in two $15 million chunks. So far, $3.6 million has been drawn, and that's all. And we expect that less than $12 or $13 million will be drawn on that 30.
And, Jonathan, I don't have a problem with the asset allocation model of 15% in equities. I don't have it. My point is, you guys kept saying how you have experience. Before this happened, which was less than a year ago, you started doing this, venture capital, stocks, corporate bonds, you've never bought one in your life. That's a fact. So if you buy some corporate bond...
Well, I guess there's a first time for everything.
Yeah, but that's crazy that we would have...
That's
you
not
guys
crazy,
would be learn,
that's just fruit.
You're going to learn on the fly? You guys have never bought stocks ever.
Actually, that's not true.
Not professionally.
This is Doug again. I'm going to hang up pretty soon, I think.
Well, Doug, hang in there.
We don't have any important...
It's okay to have a discussion like this, Doug. It's okay. I've got no problem with it, and you shouldn't either, please.
You know, I have a Master's of Science degree from the University of Wisconsin-Madison with a double major in finance, investment, and banking, and real estate appraisal and investment analysis. I worked as an investment officer for 6 years at a Fortune 500 bank headquartered in Chicago area. I co-founded and for the next 22 years was president of a local investment company. I have earned both CFA and CIPM designation, and I am a member of the CFA Institute. The CFA Institute is the premier global association for investment management professionals. The CFA charter is the highest distinction available in the investment management profession and includes a recognized commitment to ethics and professionalism.
Well,
fewer than one in five candidates become a CFA charter holder.
You know, I appreciate
all that. It takes an average of over 1,000 hours of rigorous study.
I'm glad you have the CFA.
Having three separate day-long exams.
I'd rather have the commissioner's talk.
Matt, you asked him what his qualifications are, and you won't let him say.
I don't need it. It's right in front of me.
Just shut it for a minute.
I have his resume. I have his resume. It's right here.
The Certificate in Investment Performance Measurement, CIPM.
The resume you have, Matt, is the day when Rich was initially hired.
Signifies competency in the evaluation of the investment performance of investment firms. Moreover, the CIPM designation develops an individual's skills in risk evaluation, manager selection, and investment reports based on accountability. I have a wealth of experience, and I'm highly qualified for this position.
And have you ever bought stocks or bonds or venture capital before working at the BCPL?
Yes.
Where? Because it's not on your resume anywhere.
I worked as an investment officer for 6 years.
And it says you did loans.
I was president of an investment company for 22.
Yeah, and it says you had total assets of $3 million in properties. That's not buying stocks.
And, you know, I'm not going to discuss my personal background with you.
Well, I'm sorry if you guys don't like questions, but you know what? Just because you don't like a question doesn't mean that I can't ask it. And I'm sorry,
I'm
on this board.
Matt, I got to tell you, I'm counting the days so you're not on this board. I've had enough. Doug is absolutely right. The string of demands you've made on the people who work hard at this agency has been unreasonable and abusive. And I've said this before on the record, and I'm going to say it again on the record. Your personality and your approach toward these people is abusive and unreasonable.
Well, Brad, do
you
think
we're done with this? We're done with this. You made your unsubstantiated allegation for the whole world by claiming these guys are unqualified to do what they're doing. They are performing very well in the functions that they're doing, investing the money for.
We don't know about venture
Wisconsin capital,
sir. We don't know how that's going to perform.
Well, they've made the same venture capital investment as SWIB and WERF. So, we did the same. We had to do our own due diligence on it. But I think most people would say, boy, if those agencies that have all this experience make those investments, then maybe BCPL shouldn't even have had to do any due diligence. Just go ahead and copy them. But we did it because it was a responsible thing to do. So now Rich has had a chance to respond to
Brad, can I just say one thing in regards
to your baseless claims that this staff, and I tell you, the reason why I'm anxious for you to be done with this board is because I'm scared of us having to rehire all the people at the agency, find new people to hire at this agency, because they aren't going to be able to put up with this anymore.
Well, I guess I'd say you made a comment, which is the factual stuff, what I want to talk about, not personalities.
Item number six, other options for investment of BCPL trust assets. Is there something else you wanted to say as to item number six, or is that all part of item five
it's
there?
Related, but all I'd say is I think it'd be important to note, if you looked at Minnesota, which is our neighboring state, they have a similar fund. They're a little bit bigger than us. They're $1.4 billion to our $1 billion or $1.1 billion. They have just, they are at 50-50, basically, between fixed income and stock. And that's because they've used, through their state investment board. Their state investment board manages their money. And all I've been talking about probably since I started in 2015 is there's no reason to say we couldn't do that. And the other attachment related to that is about the $563 million that UW system transferred on over to SWIB, which is all I'm saying is an option. There's nothing to say that the staff here couldn't do the loans, but that have
right,
the money done.
I would like to respond to that, Matt.
Yep, go ahead.
You remember when the bill was introduced that you were supporting so strongly to eliminate the right of the local government loan program and to eliminate the specified designee, WIMTA, the libraries, from receipts of our earnings. We could transfer all of this money to SWIB if you are willing to eliminate and can get the legislature to legislate the elimination of the designation of school libraries as the recipient. Secondly, if you can change the standard that requires us to distribute our income in its entirety and doesn't allow us to go into our principal. If you can change that standard, that's a constitutional change. That might help. And then lastly, you'd have to get us out of the local government loan program, which you know how popular that was when you had that hearing. We had 18 groups show up, and other than the three sponsors of that lousy piece of legislation, everybody opposed this. If you can change the law, you can do what you suggest. And Minnesota would wish that I met with Minnesota this last 2 weeks. They really wish they could have our local government loan program. I wish that we could do more equities. But we've got an absolute need to provide a steady, predictable, and hopefully increasing line of revenue to our stakeholders. If you can change the rules, go ahead. And meanwhile, look at the memo from the Fiscal Bureau that accompany that lousy piece of legislation, and you'll understand that shared with anybody. You'll understand why.
Well, that's fine, but I'll just go back to the comment you had one time. SWIB will definitely outperform us in 20 years. There's nothing to say they couldn't do the investments outside of the loans. That's it.
Read the memo that
we could do the loans.
Fiscal Bureau that you wanted to keep quiet on, and you'll understand that unless you can change the designation of a beneficiary and change us out of the local government loan program, we will not exceed SWIB. That Fiscal Bureau memo makes it real clear that they wouldn't be able to earn any more money than we are working with the laws that exist and our constraints. And that's a fact. Frankly, we're doing better than SWIB is in fixed income instruments, and we get waxed by them in equities. They are a different animal. They can reach into principal. By the way, so can the university fund now that it's transferred over to SWIB. They're going to deliver 4% a year no matter what's earned, and they can reach into principal if they don't earn that. We don't have that right and that authority and that law.
Just move on. Brad and Doug don't want to do anything. Let's just move on. I'm fine to move on.
Yeah, that's what you always do, Matt. You come and you make an attack, and then as soon as anyone responds, you go, I'll move on. Great.
Well,
stick to your usual plan. Number 7, are there future agenda items to bring up? Jonathan, do you have an executive secretary's report you want to discuss?
I think that we've been on at this enough. The investment reports, pretty good activity, and it's in writing. I don't need to spend any more time on it today.
Okay. All right. I know Doug's ready to adjourn. I am too. So all in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Matt, I'll vote aye.
Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.